Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. With a readership of 2 million, Latina Magazine, launched in 1996, is the largest women's magazine edited by and for Latin women. It's the flagship property of Latina Media Venture, which, and I quote, remains completely focused on celebrating the culture, honoring the past, and enriching the future of Latina women in the United States. Virky Baldonado, my guest today, is Latina Media Ventures editor-at-large. A first-generation millennial Latina writer and editor, Virky's role is to expand LMV fashion, social media, and event footprints. She joined Latina Magazine in 2009 as its online fashion editor and was named fashion director in 2013, during which time she shaped and oversaw all fashion content to reflect the values and interests of the acculturated Latina. Before Latina, Virky worked as a photo shoot coordinator at Universal Island Def Jam Music Group, producing various album packaging shoots for the likes of Jay-Z, Rick Ross, and The Killers. Virky, welcome, and thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. Very excited to be here.
Let's start with your name. It's kind of unusual, Virky.
It is very unusual. You'll find that a lot with in the Latin community, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, it's very unusual names. I feel like a lot of times they sometimes they'll just like combine names together or just come up with.
So there's a real nice creativity to
that.
Yes.
However, mine was not as intentional.
Okay.
So it was actually misspelled.
Okay.
In the hospital.
Okay.
My name was initially supposed to be Belkis, which is B-E-L-K-Y-S.
All right.
And my mother said it that way as an immigrant. She said Belkis. And in the hospital, they just translated that to Virky. And
seriously?
Yes. And she left it.
Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I do.
Did the same thing happen?
No, Diana and Javier. Nothing.
Virky's much more interesting.
Which, who knows if that's why I'm here now, you know, and the creative.
That's right. That's right. The gods kind of had something to do with that.
You never know. It may have shaped my and guided my
Let's go there about your creative life and juices. Were you always a fashionista?
Yes. Yes, I was always a fashionista, even before I can even remember, because I have people like my sister's 10 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be with her and her friends, and they're always saying, do you remember when you were, you know, so little and we would try on clothes for you and you would tell us, you know, what you liked and this is good and this is not good, or, you know, the styles. And I'm like, no, I don't remember that. But apparently, yes, It was innate. And then having my older sister, that's 10 years my senior, she's always been into fashion. And when I was younger, and still, I looked up to her. It was innate. But then when she was older and was really into fashion, she started wearing more high fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Desired, and that's when I started learning about the high fashion of design.
Like, because I'm fashion aware, mm-hmm. but I don't know that I have a great sense of fashion. I'm very safe in what I wear. And I also don't know that I want you to notice me based on that. That's why I kind of have an overdeveloped personality.
I feel like my clothes represent who I am, and I want to be noticed and loud and, mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. know. And for me, when it comes to fashion, it really is innate. I can literally, like, my outfits, if I see something, I visualize the outfit on me.
You in it.
Before I even tried it on and see if it works together. I've already like put it together in my head.
So then again, that is something innate for you. It's just a natural act for you to do these things.
If you look good, you're going to feel good to a certain extent. Obviously, mm-hmm. I think a lot has to do with your internal, how you feel inside.
Sure.
But
mm-hmm.
I think there is a part of you that if you look good, you're going to feel good. And if that whole saying, you know, dress for the job you want, not the one that you have.
Uh-huh.
I think all that can play a part in your energy and just how you go about life and your perspective and how you're sometimes received. And sometimes as much as I am into fashion, I do believe in quality and just the actual person.
Of course.
But the reality is
that's the first thing we see.
That's the first thing you see.
Mm-hmm.
And people do judge you sometimes based on your appearance.
So growing up, would I call it dress up? Is that fair?
Dress up. Yes, I guess. I mean, I don't even remember that far back. Again, those stories, I'm reminded by other people.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
I remember going to the mall and going to the Limited with my sister mm-hmm. and buying clothes. That's what I remember and being so excited. And I also remember she was the type of sister that, you know, you always hear when sisters like, don't use my clothes, they get
upset. Or don't you touch, yeah.
She was never that sister.
So you were the same size?
We were the same size.
Even though there was a 10-year difference.
She was very tiny, mm-hmm. and I wasn't as tiny mm-hmm. at the time.
That's more height, I would imagine, too.
Yeah, but I'm much taller. Mm-hmm. So I'm 5'8", she's like 5'4". Even now. So mm-hmm. a lot of things, we were the same size in shoes. This is when I was a little older. This is when I was in high school already.
Gotcha. But she was very generous in terms of extremely, sharing.
And she had very high-end clothes. Like, I learned about extremely high fashion because of her, and I was able to wear. So that's where I was wearing, like, Gucci or like, I was taking her Louis Vuitton bag in high school.
Wow.
Again, I also just learned, I think, being able to wear this type of clothes, like, just about quality and what fits right and what doesn't.
So you weren't
even if it wasn't.
You weren't a slob in high school.
No,
you didn't
not
just
at
come
all.
In wearing, you know, t-shirt and jeans.
I wasn't wearing a sweatsuit.
No. Sweatsuit. Okay. So did you know that that was going to dictate your future and your career?
Absolutely not. I did not know. Again, it was always. It's so close to who I am that it was more of a personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was...
And it was second nature, probably. And
it was second... And yeah, it was just second nature. It was who I was. And also, you know, I grew up in a very small town called West New York, New Jersey, which is 95% Latinos. You know, I've said this in other interviews. Unfortunately, I didn't see all these different women like me in different careers, even in media mm-hmm. or fashion. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't... I didn't have that.
A role model?
Yeah. I didn't have, other than my sister, but that, again, that was more of a personal,
right.
She just loved
you
to
You didn't know what
up.
To aspire to,
yes, like what
sense.
Was I, you know, was it a fashion? That wasn't something that I was thinking about.
Did you stand out in high school?
Yeah. I mean, I always had cool stuff.
Chick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like mm-hmm. whatever was in, I was.
Gotcha.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Yes, I guess. So I didn't know. And then I went to school and I didn't know what I wanted to do. And
you mean when you got into college?
Yes, when mm-hmm. I got into college, my major was communications and media. And then fashion just happened naturally. Again, other people saw it mm-hmm. and kind of
dictated to you in a way.
Dictated to me.
Isn't that funny?
Yes.
Just made these assumptions about you, right?
Yeah. So when after college, when I worked in the music industry, that I was more in the visual creative lane where I knew about photographers. I learned mm-hmm. about photographers and stylists. And I was into that, just the whole creative process.
How did you get a job doing that? Was that tough to break into?
Like everything else, I knew somebody.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, yeah. Again, mm-hmm. I'm a realist when it comes to life and how things work.
There's nothing wrong
not
with connections. You
I'm
also
not,
have to prove yourself.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it's what it is.
Sure. I mean, you may have
just
a connection.
Just to get the foot in the door.
Yeah,
right?
And then you've got to carry it from there.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I knew someone that knew someone. And I was looking for an internship. It was my last semester in college. There happened to be a position for an internship there. I started interning.
At Universal Island Def Jam?
Yes.
I mean, well, that's no small potatoes, kiddo.
Yes, it was very exciting.
Yeah,
extremely
and pretty
exciting.
Prestigious.
And again, that was my first internship. Obviously, now I wish I would have known more. And again, that goes back not to having those role models where I have my nieces and nephews now where their first year in college that summer, I'm like helping them find their mm-hmm. internship because mm-hmm. I'm like, you should have an internship every summer. So when you're done with college, like you have a great resume already. Unfortunately, I didn't know that. So, you know, I'm
didn't hurt you too much, did it?
Well, I guess not. So that was actually my first internship, but I was there like, I remember I was getting like 21 credits from being there. That's how many hours I was working.
Right. Credits and no cash. Obviously.
Yes, exactly. No cash. But
right.
It was good enough for me. And the experience was invaluable. So I was there, I think, almost like 4 or 5 times a week. I remember my first day. There was this rapper. Her name was Foxy Brown. And she was there. And I think they were styling her in one of the rooms. And I wasn't in there. But I remember my first task was they had, like, cut her hair. And I had to, like... Pick up all the
sweep
hair.
The floor.
Pick up all the hair. But I was like, that's fine. Like, I was so excited. I just would
yeah,
do
really.
Whatever I needed
sure,
to do. Like,
sure.
I remember I would cut all these billboards like all day. I would have to photocopy tons of portfolios. As I'm photocopying all of these portfolios, I mean, that's how I got to learn
mm-hmm.
so many different fashion photographers or music photographers. Like, it's through those things that you learn.
It wasn't just drudge work. It had an impact.
Yes. And because, and they loved me so much and they started depending on me so much, the assistant to the SVP of creative services. She was going away on vacation, I think. So they asked me to fill in for her for the week, and they would pay me for that week.
Nice. Okay.
So I was like, okay, I did that. And she was an aspiring stylist. And then finally, she became a stylist, and they offered me the job. However, I hadn't finished school yet. So I couldn't officially take
it. You couldn't marry the two, huh?
I couldn't officially take it. However, they liked me so much that they hired a freelance person for about two to three months.
Till you were ready.
Till I finished.
Right, till you were available.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even go. I went to, like, my department graduation, but I didn't even go to the—
Yeah, I got on the fish to fry.
I started working. I was like, I got to go.
See ya.
Yes. And then I started working there as the assistant. And I just worked hard, and, you know, there, again, like the music industry, I feel very grateful that that was my first introduction to, like, besides being super cool. And
what you cut your teeth on,
yes,
right? Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
It's like people would work there, like, 12 hours, but it was fun.
Yeah.
So it just felt like it was work, but everyone was there together, and you'd be there till 10 o'clock at night, but who cared? And then the perks were great because you'd go to these amazing parties and see these celebrities, and I was 21, right out of college.
Yeah,
it was it was amazing. And again, I learned a lot, and I met so many people that I still have connections with now. And relationships.
So you stay there for how long?
For 4 years.
For 4 years.
For 4 years.
And enjoying it. And moving up along.
And moving up, yes. Mm-hmm. So I was the assistant, and then I became the photo shoot. Mm-hmm. I became a photo shoot coordinator, which is I was like routing all the artwork and approval. Because back, again, I'm dating myself, but it was the album packaging for CDs. And we would do all of the album packaging and the promo, everything when a new artist was coming out. So I was involved
soup to nuts, huh?
Yes, and and the budgets and for the photo shoots, all of that from inception to inception.
Completion.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And then even while we were there, the music industry started having difficulties with piracy and streaming and all of that stuff. So like any other company, trying to save money, trying to figure
Downsizing.
Out how to do that. Yes, but before we even got to that, I was able to not take advantage of the situation, but make the best of it also and offer to produce some photo shoots myself because we would hire a producer.
Ah, so they didn't
and
have
I would
to go
coordinate.
Outside.
I would be the liaison between the record label and the producer and just putting it all together.
Mm-hmm.
So I offered to produce them myself. So I went location scouting and it would be for like the newer music artists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I would go, I would find the photographer, just do everything, the location scouting, produce the entire shoot. So that was great experience for me as well. And I feel like whenever there's situations where like a company is trying to save money, that's like a great opportunity for you to step up and be like, let me try this. We both win. You
right.
know, you
mm-hmm.
save some money and I get the experience and something better for my resume
for sure.
to add. So I did that while I was doing the coordinating. So I learned some production. But while I was there, there was a lot of corporate restructure. And within the 4 years that I was there, I had three different bosses.
Okay.
So then by the fourth year, the last person that came in, I guess it was my turn, I got laid off. And usually in the music industry, it's kind of like musical chairs. Like you'll go to another record label. You kind of just move around. Yeah. Everybody just, you move around.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But, you know, I thought about that twice because, again, I saw how shaky it was. And I'm like, do I really want to go back into an industry like this?
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, no, I didn't want to go to another record label. So I'm trying to think, like, what can I do with the experience that I have? How can I transition this into something else? What can that be? So then I thought magazines, but I still wasn't thinking fashion at all.
Magazines because of photo shoots?
Yes. I was like, maybe I could be a photo editor because of the photo shoots. Again, I'd never worked in publishing and magazines, none of that. But once again, I had a mutual friend with Mimi Valdez, which was the former editor-in-chief at Vibe magazine. And then she was, at the time, she was the editor-at-large of Latina, about to be the editor-in-chief. So she was starting to just meet with people and figure out who her team was going to be once she came.
So you're
going
to tell me this was another example of right place and right time?
Yeah.
That's great. That's really great. You had foresight, obviously, but, you know, that all, in a sense, the stars were aligned.
Yes.
It sounds a little dramatic, but that must have been the case.
Yeah. Yes, it was. I mean, this didn't happen right after.
In 20 minutes.
No, there was like a year that was in between. I started like, I was just figuring out. I bartended. I tried to travel because I never really traveled. So I was like, let me just take this on and let me try to bartend and travel while I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing. So, you know, one thing didn't just come right after the other. But
not a complete fairy tale.
Yeah, not a complete fairy tale, but close enough. So I met with her and I was very honest with her on my experience and that I was trying to figure out what I can do and kind of my thought process on how the magazine thing kind of would be a good transition for me. And she didn't think I was able to be a photo editor just yet, but she said she offered me to be her assistant. And that's actually how
that's good enough.
Yes. And she was like, that would be great for you.
Because you're also young.
I'm still young, mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm going to learn everything. And you could really just kind of learn all the different aspects of a magazine and figure out what it is that you do like. And she was very instrumental in just my growing, too. So once I was her assistant, she's been in the magazine world forever. I just learned so much from her.
And it wasn't one of those Devil Wears Prada kind of relationships,
was it? It was a complete opposite. She was incredible. Like, she encouraged me to go take a few writing classes. I started writing in the magazine. Like, she was like, take a crack at it. Like, because I was traveling a little. I had traveled a little. And there was the food and travel section. And she asked me, you know, write something for travel. Let's see if you have a voice. And I did. And she was very encouraging.
What a mentor.
Yeah. She was like, you have a great voice. The other stuff you can learn. Take some writing courses, which I did. And then since then, even while I was her assistant, I was also the editorial assistant because I was writing for the magazine at
Fashion
the same time.
Fashion notwithstanding, you were wearing a lot of hats, yeah. Weren't you, woman?
I was. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was just taking it all on because it was, again, experience for me that I'm like, when am I going to get this experience and why not? It's something new that I'm learning.
Does it mean something that you went to Latina magazine?
It means everything. I wouldn't have been opposed to a Cosmo or a Harper's Bazaar, you know? I mean, now that I'm in Latina and looking back, I'm like, this was the
path to take?
Yes, absolutely.
Was it a no-brainer?
Absolutely.
Did you think you would be hired at a Cosmo?
I didn't know where I would be hired, honestly. But it wasn't completely out of my realm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought, yes, I could be. Why not? Again, like, I was born here. I feel very much American.
I understand that. That's not about you.
Girl.
It's about other people versus you. You
that's
know what
true.
I mean?
That's true. I don't think
nothing ever stood in your way.
Uh-huh. Absolutely not. But Latino was absolutely the most perfect place for me. Again, it's just, it was the most natural and easiest. It's like, I was able, again, to incorporate that personal with professional, which is a beautiful thing to be able to do, like the personal passion and just second nature of who you are.
Yes, that you're comfortable in your own skin.
Yes, uh-huh. With professional. And I don't think everyone is as fortunate to do that. Even if you love your job, you can love your job, but it doesn't feel like second nature.
You know,
to you.
I have to tell you that, and maybe it's getting tiresome for people who listen to this show on a regular basis, but I do say the same thing over and over again to a female, to a person, and there have been over 200. Mm-hmm. Really, everyone seems to have this amazing sense of self.
Really?
Yes, that I don't think I had. That there was, yeah, I'm going to try here, and I'm going to let them know what I can do. And yes, there have been stumbles for them mm-hmm. along the way, but for the most part, it's been a pretty damn impressive trajectory, and that most everyone is where maybe they didn't think they'd wind up where they are, but and the means to the end might have been circuitous. But everybody feels very strongly about that, that this is what I should be doing.
Yeah, besides sometimes outside circumstances, you're
master of your own fate.
Exactly.
Sometimes
yes.
That just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You know? So you're there, and how is it that you became fashion director?
For a whole year, I was doing food and travel, and I was traveling like once a month, still being her assistant, and she'd be like,
that is so cool.
Do your thing. As long as you schedule this from wherever
and
you're at.
And you get the other stuff done.
Yeah, if you schedule my appointments.
Are you traveling internationally?
Yes, I was traveling.
Wow.
Yeah, I traveled to Chile on a wine tour. I went to Ecuador, which was amazing because that's where my father is from. And I had never been, and I've always heard about it. Ecuador, I've gone Israel. I've gone to so many different places. So that was amazing. This is the kind of, I guess, ironic part. Then the same thing kind of started happening in the publishing world that happened that I was trying to get away from in the music industry.
Uh-huh.
I feel like it's like following me.
Stalking.
Exactly. So she moved on. Another editor-in-chief came on board.
Mm-hmm. Had to start that over again, right?
Yes.
Relationship.
Mm-hmm. When she came on board, again, I was willing to roll my sleeves up and whatever needed to be done. I was kind of her assistant now.
Right,
I didn't
even
know
though
if
you
she
had
was,
street cred, you still had to prove yourself.
Yes. I mean, she knew I was doing a lot of editorial stuff, so she wasn't – but again, it's a new
well,
relationship.
Well, it's also related. Yeah, exactly. You may not gel.
Yes.
You know, you could do the job fine, but your personalities could be in conflict
yeah,
with
and,
each
and
other.
And her idea of somebody assisting her may not be
very
the same.
Different.
She may want somebody that's really there for her, and everyone's different. But everything was great. So what happened was there was a fashion and beauty director. She left. She moved on. And when she left, they had a freelance person, you know, because they weren't trying to really hire too many people at that time. It was kind of a lower point at that time. They were hiring some freelance people. And then I heard, like, people would tell, like, they would just throw it to me, like, you know, maybe you should probably try to do fashion. And I kind of, at that point, I had been in the magazine world already. So I knew there was a section for like, what I didn't know when I was younger, now I knew what there was. You know, now I can see where I can fit in when it came to something that was a passion and so close to me and so natural to me.
Yeah, right.
That all kind of came together. Then I was like, okay, this makes sense. I should be doing fashion. It's my passion. And everyone would always compliment, like, what I was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like the fashion girl. And I think she was kind of waiting for me to come to her.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't going to offer it to me. So I set up a meeting with her and I spoke to her and I kind of said my piece and why I felt like I can do this. Mind you, I didn't really have the experience. As much as I love fashion and can dress, there's a whole other side to it.
That's right.
There's a business to it that I wasn't an assistant. I had been around it.
Learning on the job, huh?
Exactly. So I just fought for it and really convinced her that I can do this to give me a trial period. She gave me a 3-month trial period. I kind of learned everything on my own. And I took off from
there.
The
rest is history. Uh-huh. And
yes.
So was that a very exciting time in your career with the fashion, or it was just, in a sense, another step?
Yes, that was exciting, but I was so focused on the learning part of it at that moment. I feel like once I moved past that learning part of it, then when I moved just up just a little more to that next step of, like, feeling comfortable and secure in learning the business part of it and knowing the protocol and just how to go about everything to make the pages come to life, then that was really exciting for me, because then I felt like I can really think about, like, what's resonating with the women and how can I...
And put your mark on
exactly,
it, right?
Exactly.
And so then what happened to go from being the fashion editor to the magazine's fashion director?
I was doing fashion within the magazine, and then online came... And then I was doing both. And I was a one-man team. Yes.
Wow.
So I was doing the fashion pages. I was doing the market work, which is like going, looking for all the clothes. I was putting it together.
That seems nuts.
I was writing. Yes, it was a lot. And then I was also writing for online. We all had to. I mean, and it wasn't only me. Again, it was just the times. You had to just go with it or, you know, you weren't going to make it.
Was Latina Magazine the only game in town for Latin women? You were the sole magazine,
yes,
correct?
At that time, yes.
So that's a pretty big road to hoe.
Absolutely.
You had competition, obviously, by the other magazines like that cater to women. But in terms of a specific audience.
Yes. It was the only one. There have been others that have come and gone. But we have such brand equity and, like, such a, staying power. I mean, we've been around for so long that.
It's the go-to publication.
Yes, yeah.
Uh-huh. You didn't want to jump from Latina Magazine to another publication. You wanted to stay where you were.
I wanted to stay because... Again, it was who I was, and it was a natural fit, and it was full circle personally, because, again, it was a natural fit. It's who I am. It's the woman that I am.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I am this girl, and also, you know, it made me feel good that I can give back to the girls that were like me when I was younger. Like, I'm playing a part in that, and, like, progressing us and making us see, again, these faces in different industries and in media. So, personally, I felt like it was good, but... Again, like, I know as a business person, you can't just, it's not all personal.
Of course. But that has to play a big part. Getting up every day and being so excited to go to work is huge as opposed to just we're making the donuts here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But professionally, I also felt like I was still learning and I was growing. And that was a wonderful thing. You know, in a company like Latina, we're not owned by a...
conglomerate?
No.
Mm-hmm.
So... we're a small team. We're a tight team. We work together. And I just felt like there was so much opportunity. Like, they're, you know, because we were a small team, they were open to allowing you to try different things.
That's so great.
You know, I just felt like in another magazine, I probably wouldn't be able to do that.
Yes,
you have your lane.
Right, that's
you
right.
You have what you do and you stay
very
within
specific.
That because
yes.
there's somebody for everything. So here, it was more collaborative, more experimental. They allowed me to experience and grow and try different things.
And how is it that you morphed to editor at large? Is that something you wanted?
Yes, it was. So after being the fashion director, I just felt like I did all I can do as far as my role and professionally. And as a fashion director, I was already starting to do a little more like press and just speaking on behalf of
representing the brand,
the face for the brand.
Right.
So it was, again, kind of like a natural.
Made sense.
It made sense. So then I've been with the brand for a really long time. I've actually been, at this point, probably the longest standing employee there.
Wow.
A lot of people know me as like Latina's go-to person or editor.
Yes.
I've just been there for a long time. So either people that I worked with there have moved on and we all know each other, or just I have dealt with so many people from all different industries because I did food and travel. Then I did fashion. I know music people. So I kind of, you know, and they all kind of see me as this Latina person.
Yes, powerhouse also. I mean, yeah.
So it just made sense for me to be the editor at large and try to just expand us on a more global aspect and do more press and just speak on behalf of the brand, because I truly feel like I am her.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
I am her. And now I'm a mother too. So that's something else that I feel like women can relate to me.
Right. It's so nuanced. Yes, it's an expanding and it's a nuanced kind of existence.
And that's the beautiful thing there too. Again, like I'm still doing different things. Like I just started writing a parenting blog for them.
And why not?
Why not? Mm-hmm. So it's not, again, I'm not like pigeonholed to one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like what feels right, what feels natural. Every aspect of my life, I feel like a Latina can relate to. So it makes it very organic for me to be able to speak on this and speak to her.
We're running out of time, but I want to ask you one question. Are you nervous about the future of magazines?
Absolutely. And, you know, every day is a struggle in trying to figure out how to keep up, how to, you know, thrive. And it's a constant conversation and trying to figure out how to continue. I'm not going to lie. But I will say, I feel like with Latina is very special in the fact that, and people ask us all the time, like, we still have this print property, like, why? Or
yeah.
Are we going to continue
What's with
that?
You?
Right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
But we see it as more like the print product is like just another screen for this girl, because we're still doing the digital, we're still doing the mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, like, this print property, like the celebrities, it's a vehicle for us to just enhance everything else. So like a Jennifer Lopez will come to us, we'll give her like a beautiful cover, and then we'll still do something online. It's more of a 360 kind of approach.
Right. And it's this, seeing her in your hands is
yes.
so different than
Absolutely.
Looking at her on your
Absolutely.
Phone.
And I think Latina has such, again, brand equity that I think there's so many different brand extensions that we can do with the brand. Because it has such brand equity. Like, everybody knows it. Every Latina's mother knows it. Every, you know, young girl now knows
the potency of your magazine.
Yeah, so I feel like it has a lot more potential than even just a print property or even a digital content property. Again, like, we have to keep up with who she is, because she's evolving. She's becoming more knowledgeable, more
out in the world.
Yes, more affluent.
Yes, more,
you know, so. And she's very special because as she's doing that, she's also bringing her culture and her tradition. So it's this like hybrid of a lifestyle.
So yes. I would like to thank you for being Virky Baldonado.
Well, thank you.
I
for
think that's
me.
Why. No, it's not. Forget this conversation. And just in terms of who you are and what you do. And that's what's so great about what I do, that I meet these wonderful women. So thank
you. We say, tu lucha es mi lucha. Like, your fight is my fight.
Thank you, Virky Baldonado. Join us for another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein.